Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Kayla Kraczynski. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are on an apocalyptic conspiracy theory and a look into King's recent Constitution Day lecture. We'll also get an inside look at the King's Players upcoming performance of A Year with Frog and Toad, this week's edition of Politics This Week, and a homecoming edition of the Monarch Sports Update. Conspiracy theories have always been a hot topic with the King's community. From faking the moon landing to the assassination of JFK, we can now add another to the list. WRKC's Pat Corcoran spoke to Dr. Kyle Johnson and a King's student on the recent conspiracy theory about the upcoming apocalypse.
Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that adjoins Mr. Wilmer's garden. Wait a minute, something's happening. Jet of flame springing from the mirror that leaps right at the advancing men. Strikes them head on.
Lord, they're turning into flames.
Now the whole field's caught up by the woods of fires. The gas tanks for the automobiles.
In 1938, radio listeners in the New York area were driven to panic by the Orson Welles radio drama War of the Worlds, which predicted a planet under attack. This week, internet conspiracy theorists have pontificated that Saturday, September 23rd, may be the beginning of the end for planet Earth. They theorize Nibiru, the artist formerly known as Planet X, will cause catastrophe when it collides with our home. Dr. David Kyle Johnson, associate professor of philosophy at King's College, knows a thing or two about apocalyptic scenarios.
I teach a class on the end of the world. I taught it back in 2012 when the world was supposed to end in 2012. And one of the big hypotheses for what was supposed to end the world in 2012 was Planet X, right? It was supposed to be Nibiru. This has been around for years and years and years and years and years. And it's the same junk over and over again where people talk. They give you these really fuzzy images and say, see, there it is in the picture. And so it's on its way and NASA's hiding it or whatever.
Despite all the signs from the Book of Revelation and a recent spate of natural disasters and diplomatic tensions, Dr. Johnson remains skeptical that this is it.
When people were making predictions about 2012 and 2008, you could say, okay, it's on its way, but we can't see it yet. This is supposed to happen tomorrow. If there was a planet that was going to hit us, that it would be in the sky right now. You could see it. There's no way around it. You know, even if it was even smaller or something like that, amateur astronomers could see it. Like, it would be everywhere. There's no possible way that you could hide this. There's no way.
Dr. Johnson said psychology provides a logical explanation regarding the allure of conspiracy theories.
Well, first of all, there's kind of a euphoria that's associated with it. And the euphoria comes from this sense of, I know something you don't know, right? Like, I have this secret knowledge and I'm in on something that you and the sheeple aren't aware of. And so I'm superior to you because I have this knowledge that you lack. My eyes are open. I'm woke because I can see what's really going on.
We asked King's Jr. Joseph Bailey if he was buying into the media mass hysteria.
No. If an object that big was coming towards us, we'd definitely see it at this point. Like, honestly, we'd be experiencing some weird gravitational effects, honestly.
For those who are indulging in expensive dinners and running their credit cards up, fearing the end, Dr. Johnson has this advice.
Don't worry about these kinds of things. Get out there and live your life.
For WRKC News at 5, I'm Pat Corcoran.
With recent events in our country, Constitution Day is ever so more important. King's College recently held a lecture to celebrate the ratification of the U.S. Constitution. Program Director John Flynn has more on the story.
1787. At the end of a brutally hot summer, 39 men signed their names at the bottom of a world-changing document, the U.S. Constitution. King's honored the Founding Fathers' legacy of 230 years last night as Dr. Mary Ellen O'Connell, Robert and Marion Shore Professor of Law and Research Professor of International Dispute Resolution at the University of Notre Dame, delivered this year's Constitution Day lecture. Dr. O'Connell's talk explored the roles of law and war and the violations of law. She suggested that recent presidents have trended to favor military options over international peace treaties, especially since the end of the Cold War, in ways such as target killing, reprisal attacks, and preemptive war.
Since the end of the Cold War, however, and I'm sorry to say as recently as Monday of this week, in President Trump's speech at the United Nations, we've been seeing U.S. presidents, both Democrats and Republicans, indicate dictate more confidence in military force than in multilateral treaties. This trend is weakening respect for law in general. It is undermining America's standing in the world. It is leading to a more lawless and a more violent world. It seems we need to relearn the lesson that military force is rarely the answer, and never the answer when it violates the law, the very institution it must serve.
One such lethal force that, when it comes to target killing and violating the law, says Dr. O'Connell, is the drones, an irresistible force governments use far too often, especially by the United States government.
The drone is a highly seductive weapon. It allows us to kill without the threat of being killed. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is also, in my terms, a gateway weapon. Once the justifications are in for using this new tempting machine, those same legal justifications are used for car bombs, for sidearms, for grenades, for knives. We have become habituated to targeted killing, and there's no end in sight.
Today's current events surrounding the tensions between North Korea and the U.S. has Dr. O'Connell describing the potential harm of a preemptive attack on North Korea the Trump administration has been considering for most of his presidency so far.
In June, the National Security Advisor, General H.R. McMaster, confirmed that military options in response to the North Korea crisis have been already prepared. But under the United Nations Charter exceptions, there is no right to use preemptive force. And even if preemptive force were lawful, there are further legal principles that would disallow it in the case of North Korea. The principles of necessity and proportionality. These state that even if you have a legal basis for resort to force, you have to make an assessment, you have to make show proof that force is always a last resort and that force will succeed in accomplishing the military objective.
Law has not been respected in many unfortunate aspects ever since natural law came of age in the 17th century, and such law included the right to life. But unfortunately, better military technology has produced the right to life not in its God-given purest state.
And yet today, due to this troubling trend of new technology, which is normalizing an expanded vision of the legitimacy of using lethal weapons outside war zones, and the fundamental moral insight, the right to life has severely deteriorated.
But one idea can be the antidote to alleviate such ethics violations, and Dr. O'Connell visions this idea of beauty that has enthralled humans ever since their existence began.
When we look at something beautiful, we experience a pleasure in it that has nothing to do with basic human needs, with money, with anything. All of you know what it is to look at a gorgeous sunset, to be filled with that moment in which you're not worried about anything because you just feel happy. You all know what it is to look at an amazing painting. This idea that we are so thrilled by beauty is something that people everywhere understand, whether they're believers or not.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director John Flynn.
A Year with Frog and Toad is a musical written by brothers Robert and Willie Reel, based on the Frog and Toad children's stories written and illustrated by Arnold Lobel. The musical follows the woodland adventures of two amphibious friends, a worrywart toad and a perky frog, with their assorted colorful hopping, crawling, and flying companions over the course of a year. WRKC's Lauren Gallagher gives us a look into the King's Players' upcoming show.
To kick off the start of the school year, the King's College Theater Department will provide performances of A Year with Frog and Toad, a Tony Award-nominated musical. The director of the show, Dave Reynolds, explains what A Year with Frog and Toad is about.
So if you remember, I believe the children's books that were written in the 70s about Frog and Toad, it's all based on stories that were created for that children's book series. There's actually a book called A Year with Frog and Toad. Frog is sort of like an affable, stately gentleman, and Toad is a bit more snarky, but they find that they have a wonderful friendship and they get along with, you know, each other, if not all the other woodland creatures, kind of.
The story follows two unlikely friends, the joyful Frog and Grumpy Toad, from hibernation to hibernation. Dylan Koch, who plays one of the main characters, Frog, describe what you can expect from the character.
Frog is a very optimistic and upbeat person. He does all that he can to make anyone around him very happy, very upbeat, and specifically his best friend Toad.
Acting in a show is hard enough, but when you throw in musical numbers and dance routines, it can lead to a few obstacles. Kaj explains his troubles with learning the choreography for the show.
A big challenge for me is always dancing. I like to joke that I was born with two left feet, but I will always try to turn the second left foot into a right foot. But it's been a lot of fun. The choreographers, Dorothy Monforti and Ashley Sardoval, have done a great job highlighting the talent that they have with all of us, whatever levels that may be.
Although he faced challenges with the musical, he also picked up a new talent. Kaj talked about his experiences with the banjo.
Yes, I actually just started playing the banjo a few days ago because we decided that we wanted to try to work that into the opening and closing numbers.
Andrew Martinez, who plays another main character, Toad, talked about his personified character.
My character is always, he questions everything. Frog is the most optimistic. He wants to, like, do everything head on. I'm more like, why? Why are we doing this? And I like to think my character is most human, even though he's an amphibian, because he shows every, like, personality, the optimistic, the down as well as, you know, humans are.
Martinez found his challenge was not with his dance moves, but with his voice.
Personally, this is my first musical here at King's. I was always the ensemble, so I was able to, like, blend my voice in or hide it. But now I have to, like, stand out and everything like that. So that, for me personally, that's the most challenging about the show.
For one of the co-choreographers, Dorothy Monforti, she described her difficulties with the different types of dancing she had to familiarize herself with for the show.
It was fun and also difficult, because the show has a lot of different styles of music. In one of the songs, there is swing partner dancing, and then another song, there's ballet. It's very different styles depending on the number, and I think that's very unique to the show, because any person could relate to the music and find enjoyment based on a style that they like.
Co-choreographer Ashley Sardoval highly recommends the show.
Oh my gosh, you're going to have so much fun at this show. The music's going to get stuck in your head. It's just going to be like a really fun and bright experience. And just come and see it, because I promise you will not be disappointed. It'll be a great night.
Although the show is targeted towards children, Dave Reynolds encourages all to come because it will be enjoyable for kids and adults alike.
It's definitely a theater for young audiences piece, but there's also, I think, a lot that adults are going to like as well. So don't be scared to come see it if you're, you know, just a kid at heart, not an actual kid. We've got a wealth of Coen Brothers references to make people laugh if you're adults. That'll be fun to see for people, right?
The performances for A Year with Frog and Toad start at 7 p.m. on September 28th through the 30th and October 5th through the 7th. There will also be shows at 1 p.m. on September 29th through the 30th, October 5th, and October 7th. To reserve tickets, call 570-208-5825 or email boxoffice@kings.edu. For the WRKC News at 5, this is Lauren Gallagher.
Coming up next, we'll hear this week's edition of Politics This Week, a homecoming edition of the Monarch Sports Update, and the weather forecast for the weekend.
Attention all Monarch football fans. Monarch football is back exclusively on 88.5 WRKC, King's College Radio. The King's College Monarchs take on Lycoming College in a MAC Freedom Conference matchup at McCarthy Stadium at 1 p.m. It's also homecoming weekend, so get to the game early. But if you can't get to the game, tune on in to 88.5 WRKC, King's College Radio, as Dan Soakes and Joe Kelly call the game live from the stadium. Let's go, Monarchs!
Hey, I'm Jay DeMarcus.
I'm Gary LaVox.
And I'm Joe Don Rooney.
And we're Rascal Flatts.
Music has always been a huge part of our lives. It's something we started pursuing as kids and never gave up on. It took a lot of hard work and dedication, but it's paid off. Music has allowed us to travel around the world and share some very unique experiences. So don't let anyone tell you your dreams aren't possible, because you know what? They are. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
What's the latest on healthcare reform? Find out on Politics This Week. The Graham-Cassidy bill is a new initiative in the Senate from GOP Senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, among others. The legislation is a complex and quick attempt to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. It flew under many radars because it's being pushed through the Senate so quickly in an attempt to get it passed. The main premise of the bill is to roll back ACA Medicaid expansions and replace them with block grants, which is federal money given to states with loose restrictions on how it can be used. This means that the money could be used to keep Medicaid expansions, or it could set up other measures like health savings accounts. This is known as policy devolution, or the practice of removing established federal policy and allowing individual states to come up with their own solutions, which, in plain terms, is what the United States was doing before the Affordable Care Act. Another aspect of the bill would be to cap federal Medicaid spending. The federal government currently shares a percentage of the cost burden of Medicaid with individual states. By 2020, Graham Cassidy would cap Medicaid spending after a certain amount, which some argue that, should a public health crisis arise, the states would have to shoulder the cost burden by themselves, according to the Denver Post. Finally, it's largely agreed upon by both sides of the aisle that one of the best features of the ACA was protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Graham Cassidy would allow states to do away with this protection and replace it with something that's not clearly defined. Since the bill is moving so quickly through the procedural hurdles of the Senate for a vote by the end of this month, the Congressional Budget Office does not have time to write up a full cost analysis for this bill to see if it would increase or decrease the federal health care spending. The breaking news to come out of this afternoon is that Senator John McCain will vote no on this bill, saying he cannot in good conscience support it, the Washington Post reports. This makes the razor-thin edge the Republicans have in the Senate even weaker and likely cripples the bill. Senator John McCain was also the decisive no vote in this summer's AHCA vote. In other news, Kim Jong-un released a flurry of insults toward the United States and President Trump earlier today after United States sanctions broadened over the week. The president signed an executive order yesterday that proclaimed that any entity doing business with North Korea would be penalized by being cut off from the U.S. financial system or having their assets frozen. In addition, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin have broadened powers to impose sanctions on North Korea and its trading partners. Secretary Mnuchin said on Thursday that these sanctions were not meant to target China, North Korea's largest trading partner. These sanctions come after heightened threats of nuclear tests in North Korea's escalated militarism. And this has been Politics This Week for the WRKC News at 5. I'm station manager Katie Pugh.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update. Tomorrow, many King's College athletic teams will participate in homecoming weekend. The Lady Monarch field hockey team kicks off homecoming weekend at 7:30 on Saturday morning at McCarthy Stadium. The Lady Monarchs are looking to build momentum after their first win of the season over Immaculata University as they open up MAC Conference play against Manhattanville. The Lady Monarchs have a 1-5 record on the season. Last Saturday, the men's football team improved to 2-1 on the season as they defeated Lebanon Valley College on the road 44-39. The Monarchs return home after two road games to play Lycoming College, who have an 0-3 record on the season, at 1 p.m. This will be the 27th all-time meeting between the two programs. In the historic rivalry, Lycoming has 17 wins, 8 losses, and 1 tie against Kings. But Kings has won the last two meetings. Last week, quarterback Zach Whitehead earned MAC Freedom Conference Offensive Player of the Week after the impressive come-from-behind road victory. Whitehead also became the third all-time passing leader at Kings. Whitehead needs 192 yards to pass Tom Perrantazzi for second all-time. The game will be broadcasted on 88.5 WRKC. The Lady Monarch soccer team went the distance with Lycoming College Wednesday night. After terrific goalie play by both teams, neither team was able to score, with the end result being a tie. The Lady Monarchs host Lebanon Valley College at 5 p.m. Saturday night at McCarthy Stadium. The men's soccer team came away with a victory against Cabrini College Wednesday night. Alistair Dinnan scored his first career goal in the 85th minute of the contest to give the Monarchs the 1-0 lead. Goalie Owen Geedy was able to preserve the shutout after making 7 saves in net. Geedy set a milestone by recording his 17th shutout in net, a new record in program history. The Monarchs returned to the pitch on Saturday against Widener University in Chester, Pennsylvania. The men's and women's tennis teams will both be in action on homecoming weekend at Kirby Park. On Saturday, the Monarchs will play Lycoming College at 12 p.m. On Sunday, the Monarchs will play Penn College at 10 a.m., followed by Marywood University at 1:30 p.m. In professional sports, Carson Wentz and the Eagles look to bounce back from last week's loss to the Chiefs as they play NFC East division rival Eli Manning and the New York Giants on Sunday at 1 p.m. The New York Yankees begin their three-game series with the Toronto Blue Jays tonight as they send out ace Masahiro Tanaka to take on Marco Estrada. The Yankees look to maintain their lead in the top top American League wildcard spot, and they also attempt to chase the Boston Red Sox for the division lead. The Philadelphia Phillies send out Ben Lively to take on Sean Newcomb as they open up their three-game series against the Atlanta Braves. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be clear with a low of 55, tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 87, and Friday will be sunny with a high of 90. The King's College Block Party will be tonight from 6 to 11 p.m. on East Jackson Street. Tomorrow is King's College Homecoming Celebration as the Monarchs host Lycoming and College at McCarthy Stadium at 1 p.m. The Alumni Reunion Mass and Farewell Reception will be at 11 a.m. on Sunday. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Kayla Kraczynski. Have a fantastic homecoming weekend.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.